Good morning. Once again, thank you guys so much for this opportunity. Thank you to Pastor Kevin for just allowing me the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. This morning I would like to speak to you from a topic of three joys in the company of a blessing. Three joys in the company of a blessing. And our scripture will be coming from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56. Reads. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those who humble themselves. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to their home. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, dear Father, that as your word comes forth, you will open our hearts, dear Father, to be blessed. We pray, dear Father, that we would be encouraged by what we're about to hear this morning. We ask, dear God, that you will continue to strengthen each and every one of us as we continue that trail, dear Father, of bringing saints to you on a daily basis. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your strength. We pray that our hearts may be tilled this morning and may be fertile, dear Father, to produce an increase that your word will cause. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. This morning, sometimes you tend to get a little antsy. You know, I was actually looking around this morning and my wife said to me, she said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Nothing, babe." Actually, what I was doing was I wanted to make sure that the perception that we continually create was still true, which it is. I counted the women that are here, and I counted the men. And for some reason, it always appears that we have more women than we do men. Now, men, don't feel too bad because, you know, we are well represented. We have 10, but we still do not compare to the women. They always seem to outshine us. So this morning, I would like to speak to you from, once again, the topic of three joys in the presence of a blessing. And as we continue the season of Advent, I would like to start this morning by asking you one question. Do you really know what it means to be joyful? Do you really know what it means to be joyful? Do you hear the common refrains? Christmas is a time of joy and rejoicing. It is a time of good news, of great joy. And that's in Luke 2, verse 10. And as we continue our study in Luke, we see that joy is one of the initial responses to the good news of the promised Messiah. I know we did a little backwards this morning because we celebrated what he did on the cross for us. But in order for him to do what he did on the cross, he had to come from somewhere. So that journey that we're going to take this morning, you know, it's going to tie it all together. It's going to lift us up. So today we look at the reason for the joy of John the Baptist, of Elizabeth, and of Mary. Those are the three joys in the company of a blessing. We know who the blessing is. As Christians, we rejoice in the season of Advent and Christmas because God put aside the law of nature in order to accomplish his salvation. And yet, for many people, Christmas is a time of sadness and loneliness. I think of widows and widowers without their spouses. I think of parents without their children. I think of children without their parents. Every day we are reminded of the things that could go wrong and the thing that does go wrong. Just think about Michigan and I know it's a couple states away, but it's a real sad thing what happened at that high school. And we have no idea how this stuff touches us. See, two Sundays ago, we had two ladies that were here in our audience right out of Michigan. Brother Scott, his sisters were here, right out of Michigan. So we don't know when this stuff is going to touch us. But those are just some of the sad things that you think about now. And personally, I can share a short story with you. It's a story about my sister when they were living in Pennsylvania. And this was in Christmas time. My sister is now living in West Virginia, Lost Creek, right outside of Clarksburg. But quite a few years ago, her husband, Mom, came to visit them in Pennsylvania. And where they were living, they had to park on the street. And Jimmy's mom went back to the car to get the gifts out of the trunk for the kids, for her grandkids. And when she went back to the car, while she was getting the gifts out, someone was driving their car, and they were drunk. And they crashed into that car and killed her as she was getting the gifts. So
As you see, for some of us, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate this season, we celebrate this time, and it's... But there's so much more that's going on that some of us have not yet experienced. See, I think of those who have loved ones serving overseas. I think of those that have loved ones doing time in prison. I think of those who can't afford presents or even Christmas meals for their children. I also think of those who get depressed by the season or by the alcohol or by the cars. I think of those in broken homes. Everyone else looks so happy and joyful, while they themselves feel so miserable. However, we're going to talk about a place of joy. As you know, Mary and Elizabeth were pregnant at the same time, from our text. Elizabeth was old and past the age of childbearing, and Mary was a young virgin lady. Yet, don't forget what they had in common. They were cousins. They were both on their first pregnancy. They both became pregnant through the mighty act of God. God sent an angel, sent the angel Gabriel to announce both conception and birth. And they both were given a child who played a key role in God's plan of salvation. When Mary heard this, she hurried off to see Elizabeth. This was no small undertaking. Remember, Mary was in Nazareth of Galilee. Elizabeth was in the hill country of Judea. This is a 4 to 5 day journey of over 80 miles on foot for a young lady newly pregnant by herself. She faced the cold of night and the heat of day and the threat of robbers. And at the end of her pregnancy, she would be making the same journey with Joseph, because Bethlehem was also in the hill country of Judea. The hill country of Judea accompanies a prominent place in the history of salvation. It is here where circumcision was first instituted. It is here where Abraham first possessed the land. It is here where David received his first crown, or his crown. It is here where lay the remains of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah. So, we know something important to God's plan for salvation is about to happen, and it did with the birth of Christ. Why was it that Mary hurried to see Elizabeth? To confirm for herself what the angel had told her. Namely, Elizabeth, your relative, was going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren in her 6th month. And that's in Luke 1:36. This way, Mary sees for herself, as the angel puts it, nothing is impossible with God. And that's in Luke 1, verse 37. She sees that a barren woman is able to bear children, which means, of course, that a virgin woman like herself is also able to bear children. Mary also hurried off to give Elizabeth some badly needed woman-to-woman support. The two ladies compared notes and thoughts on their miraculous pregnancies. But then, neither one had anyone to talk to. Scripture tells us that Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. And that's in Luke 1, verse 24. As for Mary, she had no one to talk to because she was pregnant outside of marriage. It's just amazing how history repeats itself. These two godly ladies rejoiced together, wept together, laughed together, prayed together, encouraged one another. And that's in Luke 1, verse 56. Ask your neighbor, what do we have in common? See, Mary arrived when Elizabeth was in her 6 months of pregnancy. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home, telling us what? Telling us that Mary stayed with Elizabeth until she gave birth, helping, encouraging, praying, and rejoicing. That's in Luke 1, verse 58. So we're going to start now by looking at our first joy, and that is the joy of John the Baptist. See, scholars have debated for a long time. Did John the Baptist know Jesus before? And there has been the debate, and John says when he baptized Jesus, I've never known him. Let's look at what's going on. What happened when Mary first showed up and greeted Elizabeth? Luke tells us that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Baby John leaped for joy. The word for leap describes sheep or goat or other frisky animals skipping and leaping in the field. It expresses their excitement and happiness. See, pregnant mothers get excited when they first feel that baby move within them. But what Elizabeth felt was far more than just a baby leaping or a baby changing position. Baby John must have kicked out, and he must have kicked hard. It was a joyful leap. It is important that we recognize why John leaped for joy. And it starts with the Spirit. The angel told Zechariah that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And that's in Luke 1 and verse 15. Filled with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist was leaping and kicking with joy because he knew he was in the presence of the Messiah. The Savior, God's only begotten Son, he who will sit on the throne of David and rule forever. Baby John leaped for joy because of Jesus. What is John's reaction to the good news of Christmas? John the Baptist leaped for joy. His reaction was total joy from the time he heard that voice. Now on to Elizabeth. The joy of Elizabeth. This brings us to Elizabeth's reaction to the good news of Christmas. 3 times Elizabeth used the word blessed. First, She says to Mary, "Blessed is the child you will bear." That's in Luke 1:42 within our text. Why is Mary's child blessed? Elizabeth identifies the child as "my Lord." Meaning what? Meaning, to use the word of the angel, that Elizabeth recognized the child to be Jesus the Savior, the Son of the Most High, a descendant of David, someone who will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Or, to put it another way, Elizabeth pronounced the child to be blessed because he is the Messiah. Second, Elizabeth announced Mary to be blessed. Mary is blessed amongst women. Note that Elizabeth did not say that Mary was blessed above women, but among women. And certainly this is true. But we do not want to minimize Mary's place in the plan of God. So, in what ways was Mary blessed? Elizabeth recognized that Mary has been blessed to be God's bearer, to give birth to the Messiah, to be the vessel used by God, so that the second person of the Trinity would take on human flesh. Elizabeth recognized that Mary has been blessed by God to nurse and care for and teach the Messiah. Elizabeth recognized that Mary has been blessed by God to be the mother of the Lord. What God did for Elizabeth and Zechariah was an amazing, wondrous thing. He opened Elizabeth's womb and allowed them to have a child in their old age. However, Elizabeth recognized that what God did for Mary was far greater than what he did for her. Elizabeth used the word "blessed" one more time. This time she looked at Mary's faith rather than Mary's baby. She says in Luke 1:45, "Blessed is she who would believe that what the Lord has said, he will accomplish." See, when you accept and believe what God says, you are blessed. What is it that Mary believed? The word which Mary accepted and believed out of faith was Gabriel's declaration about the conception by the Holy Spirit and the virgin birth. Imagine, without physical participation of a man, Mary was going to conceive and give birth. It's amazing, because this is something that we can't even wrap our heads around today. And it's that way because it's not for us to wrap our heads around. See, this is something that only God can do. And he did. And Mary believed it and she accepted it. So who are we to think different? Mary believed that the Creator Spirit was going to do the amazing work in her life. Mary also believed that the angel Gabriel, as the angel Gabriel said, that the baby inside of her is the Messiah. What an amazing faith. Mary has a faith in the power and the work of God, and even God in Zechariah does not have. We aren't told if Elizabeth had the faith of her husband, did not. We aren't told if she responded in faith, like Mary, to the revelation of Gabriel, yet she saw the difference between her husband and her cousin. She saw her husband shut off in his own little world, unable to talk or to hear. She saw and heard her cousin talk about God and his wondrous ways. Elizabeth saw Mary's faith, so she pronounced Mary to be blessed. Blessed is she who has believed. Elizabeth recognized that faith is the key to being blessed and happy in a season of Advent and Christmas. Now Elizabeth pronounced all of this in a loud voice. Throughout the Bible, to cry with a loud voice is a mark of divine inspiration. This is Luke's way of acknowledging that the word of Elizabeth are inspired by the Spirit of God, telling us what? Telling us that it has been revealed to Elizabeth by the Spirit of God that Jesus is the blessed Messiah, and that Mary is blessed as the faithful mother of the Lord. Elizabeth, as Scripture tells us, was filled with the Holy Spirit. That makes two. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, whose fruit include joy. So, we are not surprised to find out that to cry with a loud voice is also a mark of joyful praise. In other words, there is no envy in Elizabeth's part, no jealousy, no pouting because Jesus and Mary had a higher stature than does John the Baptist and Elizabeth. Rather, there is only praise and joy. So, what is Elizabeth's reaction to the good news of Christmas? Elizabeth's reaction is joy. Which takes us down to Mary. The joy of Mary. Mary responds to the good news of Christmas involves more than belief. In our passage, we see her response also includes joy. And Mary said, this is Luke 1, 46, 47, "My soul glorifies the Lord." 47 says, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." A joyful Mary breaks out into song. You know, it's funny, but sometimes when you talk to someone that's close to you and you tell them to sing, "Oh, I can't sing, I can't do that, I can't do that." You know, but I can only imagine what Mary sounded like. She had so much stuff going on for her, so many stuff going on in her life. And all it is, it's a moment of expression, it's a moment of joy. So she broke out in song. First, Mary recognized what God has done for her. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. That's in Luke 1:48. "He has done great things for me." Second, Mary recognized what God has done for all believers. His mercies extend to those who fear him from generation to generation. This is where we get engrafted. We can celebrate, we can enjoy the same thing that Mary did. We just believe. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. And that's in Luke 1:51. It said, he has lifted up the humble. And that's verse 52. In verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. And the third thing is that may we recognize what God has done for Israel has been merciful. He has remembered his promise to Abraham and his descendants. What is Mary's reaction to the good news of Christmas? Mary sings of the great and glorious works of God. Mary, like John the Baptist and Elizabeth, was filled with joy. Those are the three joys. Now let's talk about joy, sweet joy. Since we were looking at the three joys in the presence of a blessing, I know right now you already know who the blessing is. So we just covered the three joys. So joy, sweet joy. So what is joy? What does it mean to rejoice? What happens when someone is joyful? Well, let's start by looking at or by reading. Baby John recognizes and leaps for joy. Elizabeth rejoices and she speaks in a loud voice. Mary rejoices and she breaks out in song. Joy is an emotion that requires expression. If you know someone that's joyful, that can keep it to themselves, I'd like to know who that person is. See, when you get joyful, you're bubbling over. You've got to tell somebody. Somebody wants to know about it. Because it's infectious. Look at the tree that was in that circle. That's what joy does for you. Joy is not something that you can keep to yourself. It is not something that is hoarded or ladled out in little portions. Joy is a wholehearted response to something. That is why we're saying out this morning. Sing out loud, because we were joyful. See, when we look through the gospel, we see that joy always has to do with Jesus. Paul tells us that our joy in the Lord, this is in Philippians 4:4, we see that there is joy at the conception of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Joy because God is at work. Joy because God is advancing his plan for our salvation. Joy because the Messiah has come or is coming. Because God is being faithful to his covenant promise. Joy because our Savior, because our salvation is from sin and Satan's hell and punishment. Joy is in the Lord and comes from the Lord. Jesus takes Jesus out of the equation and the joy is gone as well. In other words, as long as you have Jesus, you have joy. Those who have met and know Jesus have every reason for joy. Those who know or who have met the Savior are filled with joy. For believers everywhere, Christmas time is joy. So I invite you to come to Jesus because there's joy for everyone. In conclusion, what accompanies your heart in this Christmas season? Is your mind filled with the thoughts of presents and parties and decorations and send, then joy is missing. Is your heart filled with thoughts of problems and worries and income and health and illness? Then joy is missing. But if your heart and mind are filled with the Lord Jesus, like Mary, Elizabeth, and baby John, you respond with joy. Would you please stand? I started out this morning with a question, and I'm going to end with a question. And my question to you this morning is, how much longer are you going to be missing the joy of Christmas? How much longer are you going to be missing the joy of Christmas? It's free. It's a wonderful opportunity. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great and wonderful opportunity, dear Father, where we could partake of the joy that you have presented. We thank you for allowing us to be able to rejoice with Mary, Elizabeth, and John. We thank you for allowing us to be able to experience the joy that they felt. We know this morning, dear God, we went through the elements that you have left with us right before you were sacrificed, and it was a sad moment. But we know that you had to go. Because we know, dear Father, you had to accomplish the Father's task. But this morning, dear Lord, we know that there's so many people out there that are struggling, so many people that are going through so many different things, especially at Christmas. So we want to ask you, dear Lord, to just remove the depression. We want to remove the sadness. We want to remove the loneliness. We want to remove the isolation, dear Father, and just bless each and every person. May they be able to see and partake of the joy that your birth has presented. Help us to realize, dear Father, that this Christmas season is all about you. And as we continue to go through Advent, dear Father, may you open our minds to a greater understanding of what it's like when you arise on the scene and the things that you have provided for us. May you be blessed by everything that we have said and done today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Now, you may be listening, and you may want to find out, you may say, well, how do I get a hold of that joy that you talk about? Well, WMBCVA1, or you can call us. You can contact Pastor Kevin, and he can tell you. And most likely, if you have tuned in and you're listening and you see what's going on, all the information is provided for you, where you can reach out. However, you don't have to contact one of us to experience the joy. If you feel moved this morning to open your heart and receive that wonderful gift of the birth of Jesus and the death and the price that he has paid for your sins, all you have to do is ask him to come into your life this morning, take control of your life, and be the Lord of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for any person that has the urge and the desire to make you Lord of their life. We pray this morning that you will continue to touch them. We pray this morning that you will continue to bless them, dear Father. We pray that they will be encouraged, dear Father, and they will find a home or find someone that they can continue to grow and fellowship with. We ask that you continue to watch over and continue to bless each and every one of us in your presence. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, unto him who is